This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. This is Case Closed. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday for another hour of old-time radio crime. We'll begin our hour this week with Barry Craig, confidential investigator, and hear his episode from October 13th, 1953, titled Fog Over Murder. After that, it's The Adventures of the Thin Man and The Strange Case of Professor Wanger. That episode aired sometime in 1942.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
What's in a name, a poet once said, and he was so right. You can list every guy as Smith or Doakes, and it doesn't make any difference. The stiff down below positively doesn't care what the tombstone reads.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. A case sometimes comes at you all the way from left field. It's out of the ordinary, and the familiar ingredients, familiar to a confidential cop, seem to be missing. At first glance, that is. Said familiar ingredients, of course, being theft, homicide, and blackmail. The nice, homey, everyday stuff of crime that keeps a cop in love with his work. In this case, even the kickoff was unfamiliar. The chap setting up the deal for me was a mine doctor, a skinny guy with horn-rimmed glasses and a high forehead, who looked like he got all his nourishment from pills.
This is an unusual thing for me, Mr. Craig, to consult with a detective.
This is an unusual joint for me to be in, so we're even.
Now, this patient that I will discuss with you, I've worked with him for months with encouraging results.
I'll start off with his name.
His name is, temporarily, Clark Smith.
Temporarily?
A symptom of his ailment is an amnesia. He, resists his own true identity.
Doesn't want to remember who he is, huh?
Yes, in a manner of speaking.
That's bad.
Well, why do you say that?
From a cop's point of view, disregarding the medicine, a guy only tries to lose his identity for a pretty grim reason. Some crime he doesn't want to answer to.
Oh, there is such a possibility, yes.
Still think you want to make a police case out of this Clark Smith?
Well, there is the risk you suggest. I have thought of that. Restore this man to his own identity, but with an unhappy result.
He faces the consequences of a crime. Capture, trial, and sentence.
But if this risk is not taken, it's equally critical for Clark Smith.
Meaning the shape he's presently in, huh?
Depressed, malingering, sick with anxieties. He cannot function as a social being. He hides from the world. Yes, he interests me, this Clark Smith. I would like to help him find himself, help him to face his reality.
Only your medicine goes just so far.
I need a detective such as you to associate with the case. There are facts to ascertain, the special things in which you are a specialist, and in which my science is helpless.
Got any clues to his background, who he was before he became Clark Smith?
Oh, yes, I have many. I've uncovered many clues in my 6 months now of clinical examination. In my patient's moments of unconscious association, he has given me many material clues that you'll find helpful in your search.
Well, clues like?
Well, words, for example. Oh, I have them recorded here. Midvale. Now, there have been many reminiscences involving the word Midvale.
Sounds like a town.
Yes, or a school, I have thought. A high school, perhaps, judging by the level of my patient's speech. The education it suggests. And the word Pomatone.
An Indian word.
And very lyrical. The word is always said with a caress, always with a curious tenderness of feeling.
Like Clark Smith loves it.
Yes.
Pomatone. Could be a river. A place to swim or fish for trout. A man can fall in love with a river and never forget it. Remember it all his life, even with his mind dead to everything else.
Yes, you're very perceptive. A river, yes. I have thought so, too.
Two good clues, those. trace a guy back to where he came from? Back to where memory cut off? Does Clark Smith know what you're up to with me?
Not exactly. He knows in his own way. He wants to recover his identity, appreciates my interest, yet...
He's scared.
Well, he may resent what we do. You may find him very uncooperative.
Where can I see him?
I'll give you his address, but please, be very gentle with him. Do not press too hard.
I found Clark Smith at home. Home was a beach shack out on Long Island. Shangri-La made out of plywood and thumbtacks, serenaded by big seagulls with wing spreads like eagles. Smith looked the part of a beachcomber. He wore faded blue jeans slit at the sides and a fish knife in his belt with a mean-looking blade. He gave me the long once-over.
It's a 35-pounder.
No kidding.
The striped bass. I pulled her in at the Anthony Lighthouse. I broke two lines on her.
Sounds like quite a battle.
Quite a battle, yeah. You'll find her in the shed, packed in ice. Leave the money on the table.
I'm not a fish buyer. I'm Barry Craig.
Barry Craig?
Right now associated with Dr. Vanner. To help you, Smith. Help you get back to the life you belong to.
I belong here. What are you after with me?
I said to help you. Dr. Vanner and me. We're on your side. We're your friends.
I don't want help.
Sure you do. If you didn't, you'd never have gone to Dr. Vanner in the first place.
I went to find peace, so I'd calm down. To fish, you need to be calm.
You went to find yourself. Don't back away from one big truth, Smith. You're one big inner drive.
Mr. Craig, I'm afraid.
Sure you are. I understand. But I say you can't be any worse off than you are now. Have a little faith, Smith.
Faith?
Midvale and Pomatorny. What do the words mean to you?
I don't know. I know the words, but I don't know what they mean. I don't know.
Okay, forget them. I'll try to find out another way. If I'm stuck, I'll come back to you. We'll go over it again. We'll go out in a boat and fish and talk. Midvale and Pomatorny. Clues sometimes take you for a ride around the moon. You're a skywriter spelling out the word futility. Other times it all comes easy, too easy. You don't have to be a detective, just a researchist with a world almanac. The section that says index of towns and places and rivers. I found the river Pomatorny merely by running down a line of names of American rivers. The Pomatorny River, but it wasn't in any town called Midvale. The Pomatorny River was in Farington, a town in Jersey. I kept hunting Midvale in the book. Anything named Midvale in the town of Farington. I checked school, high schools, and universities, then industries. Under industries, I found it. The Midvale Bottling Works, located in Farington. I had reason to hop a train to Jersey. One Horse Farington had a sheriff. It also had a barber, both rolled into one. The sheriff and the barber were one and the same guy. Came a shortage of lawbreakers. At least there was always hair to cut. I phoned you in advance of coming, Sheriff. You know why I'm here.
Yes, I know. But just a minute till I get out of this coat. Can't sheriff in a barber's coat.
Why not?
Just not right, that's all.
Now can we get down to it?
Not yet. Can't sheriff without my badge. Here it is. Now, about this missing fella...
I took this snapshot. I sneaked the picture. The guy's sensitive to attention, so don't expect too much. Well, ever see him before?
Yeah, picture's kind of blurry.
My $2 camera, I'm sorry.
No, can't say I ever seen this one. What there's to see. But you don't need to be showing me pictures. Only one man's disappeared from Farington in the years I've been barber.
How about in the years you've been sheriff?
Same answer. Lloyd Beamer. He's the only one who's disappeared and ain't never turned up. It's six, seven years now. Maybe eight, coming right down to it.
Fill me in on Lloyd Beamer.
Oh, ain't much filling I can do. Just that Beamer ran the Midvale Bottling Works. That's right on the county line. Owned it, Beamer did, till he went.
Went where?
Can't say. Nobody can say. Bit flighty, that Lloyd Beamer. His head was always in books. Lived in the town, but you wouldn't know it. Kept to himself. Even on election day, never showed up to vote.
Imagine. Who runs the bottling works now?
Mrs. Beamer. That's Lloyd's wife, Polly. She's there now, minding things. If you'll be wanting to talk to her...
I'll be wanting to. The first thing that meets your eye in a bottling works are bottles. Lots and lots of bottles. I found a door marked private and used it. On the inside of the door was somebody who looked like privacy was wasted on her. Too many good looks to keep them all to herself. A face you'd expect to find in Tahiti, never in a bottling works.
Yes?
Am I intruding?
You've already intruded. You're chilly?
I always am in refrigerated rooms. How about a warming smile?
I'll have you arrested.
You didn't let me finish. A warm smile of gratitude on account of the great thing I'm about to do for you.
What is that?
Reunite you with your husband.
My husband?
Uh-huh. Don't you want to be?
Is this some practical joke?
I'm a comedian, only up to a point. Well, what's the matter?
Matter?
You're green around the gills.
I feel faint. Your remarks, I was utterly unprepared. I'm all right now.
Well, take more time.
No. Please talk.
Your husband, Lloyd Beamer, has been missing.
For more than 6 years, yes.
I've got a fellow I think could be Lloyd Beamer.
It's impossible.
Why?
Why? Because in all these years, there's never been a word.
That makes it strange, but not impossible. A man loses his memory. How does he know who to write to, be in touch with?
This person, you say he cannot remember?
Amnesia of a kind. I'm piecing his past together, reconstructing a picture. I'm a detective from New York, Barry Craig.
How did you come upon this person?
You keep saying this person.
I've come to think of my husband as dead. I've accepted it as so.
Why?
Why? So I could find peace with myself. Stifle imagination, the nightmare of thinking, not knowing. I was deserted, Mr. Craig, by a man with violent currents in his nature. A man bent on destroying everything around him and himself. It was better to think of him as dead. So I could have some peace, some life.
I'm sorry. I guess I was a jolt to you. A trifle crude in my approach, maybe. Of course, this man might not be your missing husband. It may turn out that he's not.
But you seemed so very sure before.
Some clues relate him to the town of Farrington, to these bottling works. Clues, but they may be coincidental. You never know.
What?
The lady.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I think I'm going to faint.
Lady. It was a faint, the deadest faint I'd ever seen. A faint like death, and the frightening thing about it, it could be death. A heart attack from the shock of it all. For all the pulse I was getting, the next move could be the coroner's. You know that someone apparently dead isn't when she flutters her eyes at you. A corpse generally can't. Polly Beamer fluttered her eyes at me. I was close enough to admire their color.
Oh, what happened?
You passed out, a dead faint. No pulse like your heart had stopped pumping blood.
Oh, I'm sorry if I unnerved you.
I've got a few gray hairs as a memento. I hate to say hello to a girl and have her promptly drop dead.
The news you brought me, it was so overwhelming.
Apart from the news itself, what else gave you conniptions?
What else?
The prospect of a return of Lloyd Beamer, your missing husband. I don't think you fancy the idea as a woman.
No, I don't. We were never so much of a couple. Besides, I've built a whole new life for myself since...
A new life meaning a new guy?
New interests, a new independence and outlook.
You're glossing over the new guy?
There are men in my life, of course.
Men or a man?
I'm young, I have a right.
No question of it. All right, then, the way it stacks, if my party is the missing Lloyd Beamer, reassuming his proper station can create complications.
Complications?
He isn't wanted. No welcome home. Rough on a guy, kind of. A return to identity at long last, only to find himself on the scrap heap.
I don't think this person you talk about is my husband.
You mean you hope he isn't. But we'll soon know. I've got a couple of more questions.
Yes?
Assuming my party is Lloyd Beamer, I've given you an idea of the condition he's in.
Loss of memory, you said?
Yes, an acute case. He's been under medical care. Now I ask you, why would Lloyd Beamer suffer a loss of memory?
I don't understand the question.
The medic handling Beamer hinted that this patient maybe helped induce his own condition. Blanked out so as not to remember something too painful. Blanked out to escape being Lloyd Beamer, if you get me.
Yes, yes, I do understand you.
Again, assuming this is your husband, so what was he running from?
What was he running from?
Trouble, a crime maybe, something he was guilty of, and the fear of discovery?
There was nothing like that in my husband's affairs.
Okay for that. I'm glad to hear it. Then the escape was for, let's say, strictly personal reasons. Personal problems of non-criminal character.
Lloyd was an eccentric, secretive. He never could quite fit into the group. He found this business, intolerable. He found marriage too commonplace.
I see. Call him a pathological personality. One last question.
Yes?
Whoever listens in on talk in your office, does he do it with your approval or on his own?
Why, what do you mean?
I'm looking straight ahead. Into that mirror on your wall. There where the safe is. Twice so far, I've seen a face in the mirror. A face not my own. I'm not two-faced, lady, so I assume there's been me and somebody else. Somebody peeking through the connecting door behind me. This door. Peeking and eavesdropping.
Well, there's nobody.
Not now. He's gotten an earful and decamped. You don't care?
Care?
About being eavesdropped on?
I don't know that we have.
We have, believe it. Who was it?
I don't know. We have 30 employees in the plant.
Heavy brows, eyes deep in his head. This connecting door behind me, he had it open to an aperture of 6 inches. Where does the door lead to? Well?
It leads to the office of the plant manager.
Namely?
Howie. Roy Howie.
I'll go introduce myself. Oh, by the way, pictures. Got any around of your missing husband?
Why, yes, at home somewhere, packed away.
I'd appreciate one, a good one, to take back to New York with me.
No, I won't give you any pictures.
Why not?
I'll do nothing to facilitate the return of this person you say may be Lloyd Beamer.
The man's sick. I'm asking you to help restore a man's memory.
I'll do nothing to facilitate that either.
Pretty shoddy attitude.
I don't care. I feel selfishly about this. We were through. I've let freedom grow around me, freedom from the nightmare of Lloyd Beamer. Why can't you let me alone? Why did you have to come here at all?
Roy Howie, do I need a pass to get in to see him? The plant manager, Howie, had the perfect explanation.
Yes, I did over here. The fact is, I had some memoranda for Polly's signature. These forms. But, I found her engaged with you.
You stood glued to that crack in the door.
Thinking that she'd be finished with you momentarily. I don't mind confessing that I was fascinated by what I heard. Became absorbed in it.
Why?
Other people's business. A morsel of gossip. This is Farrington Township, Mr. Craig. Very little happens in Farrington. We're hungry here for something eventful. The sensational attracts us like moths to the flame. We're all of us talented eavesdroppers and busybodies. I'm being very frank.
Yeah, very frank and very, very artful.
I've read about New York private eyes, the unusual breed you are, your obsession with motives. Suspect everybody. Isn't that your daily religion?
You talk a glib line for a jerkwater town bottling plant manager.
Snarl, curse, and break heads. That, too, is the classic cliché of the New York private eye. Well, why aren't you breaking my head, Mr. Craig?
An important thing to know about one-horse towns is how to get out alive. I called a local taxi to take me to the railroad depot, a mile run on a big ditch they called a road. Oh, the bumps I took, my insides were in a heap. At a bend in the road where spruce trees lining it made a perfect ambush, somebody tried to drop the rest of me in a heap.
Oh! Oh!
I got it in the right hand, the check writing hand. The local hack driver kept going, like he hadn't heard a thing. I got first aid at a shack that had a Decalcomania emblem of mercy pasted on a window. The guy cauterizing my wound was a familiar face. I'd seen him before. He was the barber. Or did I mean the sheriff?
Regular docks 14 miles over the hill.
Oh, yeah. Switch to your painless method, why don't you?
Ain't much of a nick in that hand of yours. I'm treating it right.
Short of amputation.
Yeah, I'll bandage it up now, and you're as good as new.
What do I owe you?
50 cents, same as for a haircut.
A bargain. Who shot me?
Can't say. I ain't investigated it yet.
But you've got a pretty good idea.
All right, I'll tell you. That Roy Howie's been shining up to Polly Beamer. Takes her on corn husking parties and quilting bees. He's wild for her and infernally jealous, that fella.
I wasn't making a play for Polly.
You come in here with news about Lloyd Beamer. Now with Polly asking the judge to free her from a man who's been away so long, Roy Howie wasn't taken kindly to that.
Howie figures he's going to marry her, huh? When her divorce, or annulment as it, comes through?
Howie's figuring that. Bottling works is the biggest thing in Farrington. It's a good marriage Howie's after.
I made hasty tracks out of dear Farrington Township. I had unexpected company on the train. Right on the seat beside me, white-faced but smiling. A fetching smile that figured to melt men's hearts. Polly knew how to turn it on.
Surprised, Mr. Craig?
Not too. I figured if Howie failed to kill me, you'd try it another way.
I don't understand.
Charm me to death. And you're doing it.
Doing what?
Sitting closer than train regulations allow and breathing on my neck.
Before, what you said, Howie's failing to kill you?
Come off it, lady. It's you and Howie, one nod away from the altar. Wedded bliss the minute some judge signs a final paper. I popped in with a facsimile of your missing husband at a bad time.
All right, it's so. I won't attempt to lie to you. Howie and I are in love, planning marriage.
But I gummed up the work.
If this person is who you say he is, I'm frightened.
Frightened enough to endorse murder?
Howie didn't attempt your life, not really. He just meant to scare you, make you stop meddling in our lives. And I did not endorse it, Mr. Craig. Howie's impulsive, sometimes foolish. It was his own foolish scheme.
Which brings us to you sharing a seat with me.
To go with you and confront this person you say might be Lloyd Beamer. To see for myself.
Okay, we'll try it. But after I prepare him. You got a favorite New York hotel you can park in?
I have. The Warrumbo.
We'll soon know whether you're still a wife or a bride-to-be. With Polly biting her nails at the Warrumbo, I followed the seagulls to where my beachcomber parked his amnesia.
The striped bass are running better. Got a 40-pounder in the shed.
Well, let's get off the fish. I've got a few things to tell you. Things that might be biographic.
So you've gone ahead about me.
I've gone far. I might do you some good if you don't offer too much resistance. If you're afraid, don't be. My information is this. The man I think you might be has no crime to answer for. Well?
I'll try to cooperate.
Good. I'll throw words at you. The Midvale Bottling Works, Farrington Township, Jersey. A guy named Roy Howie.
Roy Howie?
You sound like it's familiar.
Is it somewhere in my head?
Another name, Polly. Polly Beamer. Is that somewhere in your head or heart?
Polly Beamer. Yes, I believe I know the name.
You could be a Lloyd Beamer, from the evidence so far. Polly Beamer is Mrs. Lloyd Beamer.
Well, I'm confused.
Sure, I know, but you're standing up great, better than I thought. Are you up to a visit with Polly Beamer?
Polly Beamer, who may be my wife?
Uh-huh. Again, only if you're up to it.
Take me to it.
I brought Smith to the Warrumbo Hotel. Polly made an odd request of me.
May I talk to this person alone?
If you're going to insist.
Please, Mr. Craig, I don't relish being emotional in front of third parties.
Meaning me. Okay. I'll wait in the hall. Call me when you're ready. Polly called me in less than 10 minutes. She'd been crying her eyes out.
Mr. Craig, you can come in now.
Thanks. Any result?
This man is Lloyd Beamer, my husband.
You're sure?
Of Could I be mistaken?
No, I guess not. Turn about now, Polly. Your turn to wait in the hall. It's two alone. Me and Beamer.
What on earth for?
I'm completing a job, Polly, wrapping it up. Your questions are out of order. Wait outside.
I'll go, of course, if you must.
Now you, Beamer.
Yes?
That's really your name, huh? The one you lost somewhere.
Yes, I'm Lord Beamer. I'm still a little new, but...
But you're not too unhappy over it. Pretty wife, a bottling plant. Quite a change from a beachcomber.
You sound like you begrudge me.
If you're Beamer, I'll shake hands and say goodbye. Report back to Dr. Vanner, my original client. Tell him the good news. If you're Beamer.
Well, now you're talking like you don't think I am.
I just don't know. But I will know in a minute. It seems Beamer had a mermaid tattooed on his chest.
A mermaid?
I got this from intimate sources. The sheriff, close friends of the Beamers. Strip, mister, so I can see your chest.
Now, wait a minute.
Then I'll do it for you.
Hey.
No tattoo, mister. You're a phony. Okay, what's the game? I'll answer it. Blackmail. You've got enough on Polly Beamer to make her accept you as Lloyd Beamer, even though she knows you're a phony. That's why she wanted to be in here alone with you. Find out what you had on her. Well?
I've got nothing to say.
Then keep listening. The amnesia was a fake, a pretense, right from the start. You used Doc Vanner as a dodge and then began using me. I was to lead Polly Beamer to you, worry her so she'd be apple pie in your hands. Your so-called amnesia for all these years was a device to provide an explanation for Lloyd Beamer's long absence. Wherever explanations might be needed, in Farrington Township especially. Well?
I've still got nothing to say.
Then you're a sucker. Confession, you might mitigate police charges against you. You're licked anyhow. The scheme's boomeranged. You won't get Polly, and you won't get a dime.
You'll help me get off?
I'll put in a good word.
Okay. Lloyd Beamer's dead. I got to know him in the years he'd run off from his wife. He's been dead a few months now.
Who murdered him?
His wife, Polly. She discovered his whereabouts a few months ago, in the shack out on the island. She shot him and buried him in the cove. She didn't know that all the time there was an eyewitness.
You?
Yeah, me. I was out in the shed packing ice around some bass. Polly thought Beamer was living there alone as a hermit. The fact is, it was Beamer's shack. He owned it. He'd invited me to share it.
Beamer's corpse. You can lead me to it?
I can.
And you'll testify in court as an eyewitness to murder?
I'll testify.
Just how did you expect to crash Farrington society as Lloyd Beamer with your face?
I didn't. Polly and me, we were going abroad right away. She agreed to go to Europe with me.
With all the dough she had in her satchel?
With dough, yeah.
For a smart crook, mister, you're surprisingly stupid.
Stupid?
You panic easy.
Oh, I'm just beginning to catch on. That tattoo, the mermaid on Beamer's chest, you made that up.
So I did. I'll go call Polly in. Polly? Polly, come in and face the music.
Face the music?
Murder, baby. If you've got one of those fancy feints handy, now's the time. I just found out how you murdered Lloyd Beamer. Well, what do you know? She's gone and done it again.
You have been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Fog Over Murder, was written by John Robert. Next week, it's the strange story titled The Hunted Husband, about which Barry Craig has this to say.
Next week, I'm hired to hunt a husband. I catch him finally, but by that time, it's become good hunting for something else. Murder.
Good night, folks. See you next week.
The National Broadcasting Company has brought you William Gargan, starring as Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Featured in the role of Polly was Terry Keane. Don Pardo speaking.
Jack Webb stars as Sergeant Friday in Dragnet, next on the NBC Radio Network.
It's the Frontline Theater. Today, bringing you a real thriller, The Strange Case of Professor Wanger, and as our extra special guest of honor, Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. This is Ken Niles to welcome you once again to the Frontline Theater, brought to you men in the armed forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department. This is your theater, and every performance in it is presented especially for you, the men fighting with the United Nations on freedom's front lines. Our play is an exciting story, The Strange Case of Professor Wanger. And because it's curtain time in the Frontline Theater and the play's the thing, let's get on with the show. Over New York, night has fallen, and in the apartment of Nick and Nora Charles, Irwin Harris, a friend, discusses his new job.
Like I say, Nick, you ain't got a steady job bodyguarding Professor Wanger. Sure you'd think everything would be perfect.
Well, isn't it?
Positively not.
Irwin, nothing's happened to the professor.
How could it when all the time he locks himself in a house and he never goes out?
Well, that should make your job a lot easier.
Sure, but then I'm taking money for nothing, which ain't ethical. So, I think I'll quit.
Oh, and do what?
Well, what's wrong with the stage?
Nothing, and let's try to keep it that way.
Did you ever hear me recite?
Irwin, I warn you, you'll be putting a severe strain on our friendship.
Once upon a midnight dreary, as I pondered weak and weary over many a volume of forgotten lore, suddenly there came a rap.
Sound effect.
That wasn't me.
Come in. Oh, excuse me, Irwin. I better see who that is.
Oh, let me go, dear. I don't mind a bit. Just a second. I'm coming. Yes?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to disturb you. Just one more tack and I'll be through.
Say, what are you nailing there? Isn't that a funeral wreath?
Yes, indeed. One of Heikemeyer and Brothers' loveliest creations.
Oh.
A luscious spray of calla lilies surrounded by the purity and innocence of white camellias.
Excuse me, Mr. Jerk.
Heikemeyer. A very common error.
Oh, yes. Well, I think you're making a mistake.
Madam, the fame of Heikemeyer and Brothers are not given to mistakes.
Well, there's no one dead here. At least I haven't seen a corpse in days.
Is this apartment 5B?
Mm-hmm.
Are you Mrs. Charles?
Why, yes.
There's no mistake. The wreath is for Nicholas Charles.
What was that name again?
Nicholas Charles.
Nick. Nicky!
Yes, dear?
Oh, thank heaven.
Know me, baby?
Uh-huh. Darling, this is Mr. Heikemeyer.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, sir? Believe me, my heart goes out to you in your hour of grief.
What's the matter with him?
He thinks you're dead.
Oh, what?
Uh-huh. And he's got a wreath to prove it. See?
Well, look, my little man, you're a trifle premature. I'm afraid you'll have to take that thing back with you.
Oh, I couldn't possibly. What would the customer say?
Well, I don't know. Who is he?
Oh, a noble soul. He paid cash.
What's his name?
He neglected to leave one. No, Mr. Charles, the wreath will have to stay.
I'm sorry, pal, I can't use it.
Well, what'll I do?
Couldn't you put it back in stock?
Madam, are you suggesting that I tamper with the records of Heikemeyer and Brother? Why, it would be sacrilegious.
Well, that's your problem, but get this thing out of here.
Mrs. Charles, I ask you to bear witness. I am not doing this of my own volition.
Uh-huh.
Attaboy.
If you should change your mind, sir...
Yes, I'll let you know.
You wouldn't reconsider it now.
No. There are nothing personal, you understand, but I hope I never see you again.
You will, Mr. Charles. Mark my words, you will. Good night.
Did you ever see anything like him, darling?
Nicky, why should anyone send you a wreath?
Oh, I don't know. It was just a gag.
Well, it wasn't very funny.
What's the matter? Something wrong?
Someone just sent Nicky a wreath.
Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Charles?
Yes?
A short while ago, a funeral wreath was delivered to your door.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, if you're one of the Herkimers, I explained to your brother. It's all a mistake.
It was no mistake, Mr. Charles. I sent it.
You sent... All right, pal, what do you want?
Listen, unless I've been misinformed, a young couple will be up to see you shortly. They'll have a request to make of you. Take my advice, Mr. Charles. Turn them down. Otherwise...
Otherwise what?
You'll find you were much too hasty in returning that wreath.
Well, that's Act One of The Strange Case of Professor Wanger. And now, during intermission, let's hear from today's special guest, Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. We're certainly glad you accepted our invitation, Tommy, and we're turning the spotlight on you while you play one of those swell arrangements that have made you famous. The stage is yours, Tommy. Thank you, Tommy Dorsey. That was a swell tune. The men overseas will dust off the welcome mat for you anytime you and your boys want to play a return engagement. And now for Act Two of The Strange Case of Professor Wanger. 2 hours passed since Nick received the menacing phone call which explained the delivery of that wreath.
Oh, Nora, there's nothing to worry about. It's just a practical joke. Here, I'll prove it to you. Our anonymous friend warned me that a young couple would be here tonight, hmm? All right, it's almost 11. Do you see any sign of them?
What were you saying, dear?
Never mind.
That's what I thought. Good evening.
Hello, won't you come in?
Oh, why, yes.
Oh, please sit down.
Oh, thanks. Say, isn't this a little unusual, or are you this hospitable to everyone who rings your bell? That's your southern blood.
Uh-huh. Don't mind my husband. The truth of the matter is, we were expecting you.
You were?
Uh-huh. Oh, Nicky, this is...
I'm Sylvia, and this is my brother, Gene.
Oh, how do you do? How do you do? Now, I don't believe I caught the last name.
It's Wanger.
Wanger? Any relation to the famous scientist?
Yes, he's our uncle. As a matter of fact, that's why we're here. I understand that his bodyguard, Irwin Harris, is a very good friend of yours.
Yes?
Well, ever since Uncle escaped from Czechoslovakia, we've been trying to get in touch with him. So far, all we've gotten is a brush-off.
Well, don't blame Irwin for that. He has his orders. Dr. Wanger doesn't want to see anyone.
But that's ridiculous.
Is it?
Well, yes. You see, we know that Uncle lives under the constant fear that the Gestapo is after him. Surely that's no reason to refuse to see his only living relatives.
So you want me to arrange a meeting for you?
Oh, you only would, Mr. Charles. I'm sure if Uncle would talk to me, I could convince him he has nothing to fear.
When did you see your uncle last?
Well, we never really saw him. You see, before my father came to this country, he quarreled with his brother. But now that Papa's dead, we decided we'd...
You bury the hatchet.
Yes, that's right.
I don't suppose the fact that Dr. Wanger has a fortune in patent royalties in this country had anything to do with your decision?
Now, look, Mr. Charles, not even you can say that and get away with it.
Now, don't pay any attention to him, Mr. Wanger. He's awfully suspicious by nature. But he's got a nicer side, too. You'll find it out after he helps you.
Darling, aren't you being unduly optimistic?
You mean you won't?
Uh-huh. If Dr. Wanger wants to see them, that's for him to decide.
Nicky, would you change your mind if I asked you to?
I'm sorry, dear. But beginning this week, I'm making it a practice not to interfere in things that don't concern me.
Well, I never thought I'd have to admit my husband could be frightened by a phone call.
Oh, now, baby, you know that's not true.
Well, then prove it. Introduce them to Dr. Wanger.
Conniving woman. Are you really so set on this thing?
Yes, I am, Nick.
Bless your little heart. Then I think you'll have to do the honors.
Hello, Irwin.
Oh, it's you, Nora.
Uh-huh. Open up the door.
Well, okay.
Thank you.
Say, wait a minute. Who are these people?
Oh, some friends of mine. I knew you wouldn't mind.
No, none of that. Now, you're all here for scram. No, I'm surprised at you. You know the professor gave me strict orders.
All right, Irwin. I'm sure Dr. Wanger would be very happy to meet this couple. Now, be a sweet boy and get him.
I'm sorry, but the prof positively can't be disturbed. He's retired for the evening.
Irwin, I think you're fibbing. Now, won't you get him for me? Please.
No.
Pretty, please. With sugar on it.
Oh, cut it out, Murray. You know I can't never refuse you nothing.
Isn't he a darling? You won't be long, will you?
Sit down. I'll be back in a minute.
Mrs. Charles, you're wonderful. I did manage that rather well, didn't I? Who said we needed Nick? I think you'd better let me do all the talking.
Well, of course.
I never get a chance to when Nick's around. You know, sometimes...
Mrs. Charles.
Oh, there you are, Professor. How are you?
Just fine, fine. Thanks for the asking. Mrs. Charles, you know, I make it a rule never to see anyone.
Well, I thought you wouldn't mind making an exception in this case. Professor, I'd like you to meet your nephew, Jean.
My nephew?
Mm-hmm. And this is your niece, Sylvia.
Hello, Uncle.
I never heard of you before. Wish you'd tell me who you are.
They're your brother Rudolph's children.
Rudolph's children?
Yes. I realize that doesn't prove anything, but I have papers.
Please, there's no point your showing those to me. Papers mean nothing. They could be false.
Sure, it's easy. I once knew a guy who was so slick with a pen.
Irwin.
Sorry.
Professor, you can't turn them away like this. You can see with half an eye they're not imposters. How can you accuse them of being after your money?
Oh, you do not understand. Money means nothing to me, Mrs. Charles. I am a man of simple wants. I just ask to be left alone.
Oh, please, Uncle, you've got to let us stay. There's no other place we can go. We won't be in your way.
What do you say, Professor? You've got to trust someone. Won't you let them stay?
Oh, you make it very hard for me to say no.
Oh, Uncle, darling.
It's all right, my dear.
Professor, I'm sure you'll never regret it.
Yeah, I hope so, Mrs. Charles. I sincerely hope so.
Well, darling, I trust you're satisfied with yourself.
Now that you've mentioned it, I am.
Brings back memories of your Girl Scout days, doesn't it?
Well, who could that be at this hour?
Darling, there's a well-tested way to find out. Come in. Irwin.
Yeah, it's me. Nick, I got to talk to you.
Okay, sit down.
You know what Nora went and done?
Yes, I heard all about it.
Well, you should never have done that, Nora. Well, why did you want to palm off a couple of phonies on a swell guy like the professor?
They're not phonies. Irwin, you shouldn't say that. You've only known them for an hour.
But that hour? If they're brother and sister, I'll eat your hat.
What do you mean?
Look, Nick, I come from a big family, and we was as affectionate as the next. But you ought to see the way that Jean kissed Sylvia goodnight. That ain't the way we used to do it.
Hmm. Could it have been an act to impress the professor?
Uh-uh. If you ask me, I'd say they was saboteurs.
Oh, well.
Well, it's sure a peculiar time for them to pop up.
Why?
Look, this is strictly sub rosa, but the professor's working on a submarine detector for the government. Now, I ask you, ain't it funny they should train up the night before he's supposed to run a big test for the big shots?
It might be a coincidence.
See? Even you're not so sure. Look, Nick, I should like very much for you to show up tomorrow night, just to see there's no hanky-panky.
Well, I'll have to think it over.
Yeah, do that. But whatever you decide, I ain't taking no for an answer. Some turnout, ain't it, Nick?
Yes. What time does this experiment start?
Oh, any minute now. Everybody's here who counts.
Oh, there's Sylvia.
Hello, Mrs. Charles. Can I get you anything?
Oh, no, thanks.
Where's your brother?
I don't believe I've seen him tonight.
Gene? Why, he's around somewhere, I guess.
Say, come to think of it, I saw him go out about a half hour ago.
Yes, that's right. I think Uncle sent him out for something.
That's funny. Well, if he ain't back soon, he's going to miss the show. Hey, there, the professor's almost ready to start now.
Gentlemen and ladies, you are all here tonight to see a demonstration of a submarine detector your government has asked me to work on. If my assistant will help me, we will proceed. Jean?
Oh, he isn't here, Uncle.
He isn't? Well, no matter. Erwin, will you lend a hand here, please?
Oh, gladly. What do you want me to do, Professor?
I pull down the switch marked A. Yes, that is the one right there.
Now?
Yes, please.
Right.
Now, gentlemen, you will notice how the needle fluctuates on this meter here. In just a moment, I will explain the purpose of that. Erwin, you throw in the next switch.
You better... Oh!
Look, the lights, they've gone out. Erwin, where are you?
Come on, try those lights.
Erwin!
Don't move, Nora. Don't anybody move. Who's got a mask?
Here you are, sir.
Oh, Nick.
Steady, darling.
He can't be. Erwin isn't...
Yes, I'm afraid so, baby. Erwin has been electrocuted.
Remember this, Nick. My job is to get a confession. If you and Nora talk out of turn, I'll spin you out of here so fast you'll feel like a yo-yo.
We'll behave, Sergeant.
All right, Smitty. Open them up.
Hello, Sylvia.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't kill Erwin.
Listen, Miss Ranger, whatever your name is, none of this phony sob stuff is going to get you anyplace. It's too bad your little plan didn't go off like you expected.
What do you mean?
You were after the professor, weren't you?
I tell you, we didn't mean to kill anyone.
Just meant to frighten him a little, eh? Where's your accomplice?
I don't know what you're talking about. Nick, you believe me, don't you?
Tell me something, Sylvia. You claimed that you and Jean were sister and brother.
We are.
You're lying. His name isn't even Wanger.
Well, mine is.
Then you're not related.
Yes, we are. We're married.
Yeah?
Sylvia, do you know where Jean is?
No. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
But don't you see, dear? If you don't, we can't help you.
I don't want your help. Gina, get me out.
I just wish he'd try. Okay. Think it over, Toots. When you do, I'll bet you will come to the same conclusion I did. That swell husband of yours left you holding the bag.
Nicky, what are you thinking about?
About Erwin. He was a pretty swell guy.
Uh-huh. You think Sylvia and
Jean did it.
Don't you?
It's all my fault. I never should have taken them up to the professor in the first place.
Well, I don't know, baby. Maybe it would have happened anyway.
Well, how could it?
Well, you're forgetting one thing, dear. That funeral wreath. Who sent it to me?
I did forget. Nick, do you think the man who sent it will make another attempt in the professor's life?
Oh, not so fast, sweetheart. Now you're assuming that Jean and Sylvia aren't guilty.
Darling, don't ask me why, but I'm positive they're not. I'll bet you anything you want that the man who threatened you on the phone is our murderer. There's only one fly in the ointment. How are we going to find out who he is?
How about your friend Herkemeyer?
The florist?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he wouldn't know. Remember, you asked him.
Yes, but maybe if he were prodded, he might come up with a description. What do you say, Nora? You willing to try it?
Well, in a case like this, no sacrifice is too great. Step on it, darling. You better wait in the car, Nicky. I think I'll do better by myself.
Go ahead, beautiful. But don't let him swindle you into taking that wreath back.
Oh, don't worry. I'll try to make it as quickly as possible, darling.
All right.
Yes, madam, is there something I can show you?
Hello, Herky. Remember me?
I beg your pardon.
You delivered a wreath to my apartment last night.
Oh, of course, and you made me take it back.
Uh-huh. It was a mistake.
Oh, I know it. I know it.
You knew what?
He had a relapse. He died.
No, Mr. Herkemeyer. He didn't die.
He didn't?
No. See? He's waiting outside in the car.
You mean you haven't come for the wreath?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, Mrs. Charles, you simply must take it. Well, you don't know how it's upset this entire organization. Why, my brothers and I...
Look, Mr. Herkemeyer, couldn't you give it to the man who bought it?
Well, I don't know his name.
Was he ever in here before?
No.
Could you describe him for me?
I'm not very good at games.
Well, suppose I prompted you. Wouldn't that help?
It might.
Well, was he tall or short?
Short, I think.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Did he have any distinguishing marks?
Distinguishing marks?
Mm-hmm. I mean, did he limp or anything?
Oh, now that you mention it, I believe he did.
Did what?
Limp.
Are you sure?
Almost.
Well, what about the color of his hair? It wasn't red by any chance.
Yes, I think you're right.
And of course he had a cauliflower ear to match.
Let me think. Cauliflower ear. Mrs. Charles,
oh.
Where are you going?
Well, but Herky, you're an awful disappointment.
Oh, I'm... Oh, Mrs. Charles, your wreath, you're forgetting it. Oh, Mrs. Charles, please.
Darling, it looks as though we're stymied unless you come up with something brilliant.
Well, I'll have to pass, beautiful. All I can suggest is that you phone Sergeant Reynolds and have him post a guard around the professor's apartment. Oh, I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Nick?
Yes, who's this?
It's Jean.
Jean, where are you?
Never mind, and don't try to trace this call or I'll hang right up.
You know they've locked up Sylvia?
Yes, that's why I phoned. You've got to get her out.
Well, that's impossible. Now, look, Jean, why don't you come up here and talk to me? I'd like to help you.
You expect me to swallow that yarn?
I mean it.
Well, all right. But don't try any funny stuff. If you tip off the cops, you won't live to regret it. You hear me?
Yes, I hear you. When will it be over?
Give me a half an hour.
Okay.
Well, darling?
He's coming over.
That proves he didn't kill Irwin.
Does it?
Well, certainly. Otherwise, he'd never put in an appearance.
Maybe. Look, honey, will you get Sergeant Reynolds on the wire?
Nicky, you wouldn't do a thing like that.
I certainly would. You remember you said if we found the man who threatened me on the phone, we'd have our murderer?
I still say it.
Well, in that case, the man hunts over. I just heard that same voice again.
Nick.
Yes, baby. It was Jean.
What time you got, Nick?
Relax, Sergeant, relax. He'll be here. I just hope your boys downstairs don't frighten him away.
I'm very tired, gentlemen. Is it necessary that I remain?
I'm afraid so, Professor. And that goes for you, too, Sylvia.
Quiet.
Come in.
No, Jean, don't. It's a trap.
What the... Come in, fella. Get those hands up. All the way.
No, will you close the door?
Oh, Jean, I tried to warn you.
Oh, it's all right, honey. I guess I've got Mr. Charles to thank for this.
Uh-huh.
You dirty double-crosser.
You never should have threatened me, Jean. That happens to be a pet aversion of mine.
What are you talking about?
The night you first came up here, you sent me a funeral wreath.
I can explain that.
Yes, so can I. Now, you wanted me to introduce you to the professor. You knew I wouldn't, so you applied simple psychology. You sent me the wreath and ordered me not to. And you figured I'd do just the opposite. The only trouble was I refused to bite.
But I did.
Yes, darling. You stuck your beautiful neck way out. You did exactly what they hoped for when you took them up to their uncle.
I am not their uncle.
I'm sorry, Professor. That's quite true.
You're crazy, Charles.
You deny you sent the wreath?
No, but I do deny killing Irwin.
Now, wait a minute, pal. I never accused you of that.
You never...
What are you talking about, Nick? That's what I said.
Darling, I don't understand.
But you do, don't you, Professor? These kids aren't related to you.
No, of course not. They are imposters.
Well, that doesn't necessarily follow. The shoe could be on the other foot, couldn't it?
Come on, Nick, don't be coy. What are you getting at?
The professor's the imposter. He killed Irwin.
What?
Uncle, you didn't.
All right, everybody. Stay as you are.
Better put away the gun, Professor. It's out of character.
Get on, Nick!
Oh!
Professor! Professor!
You're wasting your time, Nick. I never miss.
All set, dear?
Mm-hmm.
Then out go the lights.
Nicky.
Oh, Nora.
Darling.
Well, it's fairly simple, dear. Sylvia's uncle, the real Professor Wanger, died in Czechoslovakia. And our phony friend was an opportunist who assumed his name and finances. See, it never occurred to us that he could have been the bogus article as well as Sylvia.
But why did he kill Irwin?
Well, he had to. He was on a spot. The government wanted him to work on a submarine detector, but not having the real professor's ability, he couldn't deliver.
But if his life were in danger, he'd have a valid reason to stop working.
Yes, exactly.
Oh. But what put you on the right track, darling?
Well, we were overlooking one thing. The actual result in the case was Irwin's death. And if you assume that was what was really intended, you got yourself a brand new suspect with a brand new motive.
I see. But, darling, there's one person I'm sorry for.
Who's that?
Turkey, the florist.
No.
Think of it. For the rest of his life, he'll be stuck with that wreath.
All right. You hear what I hear?
Uh-huh. It sounds like...
Someone's nailing something on the door.
It's Herky.
Undoubtedly.
Well, darling, here we go again.
That solves the case and brings down the curtain on today's Frontline Theater play. But there are more plays coming, and your favorite stars will be in them. So keep on listening, won't you? Our thanks to the makers of Woodbury Soap for their cooperation. Frontline Theater is presented for you men in the armed forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.
That does it for Case Closed for this week. I'll be back next Wednesday with another hour. And between now and then, you can find more from Barry Craig, The Thin Man, past episodes of Case Closed, and thousands of other shows at RelicRadio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is available there as well, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.